Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia, and today is Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, and the topic of our show today is loving how you feel, even when you don't feel good. This is part 8 in our series, From Self-Loathing to Self-Loving. We often equate feeling bad with feeling we are bad. When we're angry, sad, depressed, confused, and dealing with a lot of intense emotions, it's easy to feel there's something seriously wrong with us, especially when everything feels wrong. Our society has a pretty dysfunctional relationship with the emotions. The patriarchal, masculine-dominated world seems to value logic, reasoning, rationality, strength, and shallow display of emotion. The feminine traits of emotional beingness are suppressed and judged as weakness. This is the narcissistic society we live in. Where our emotions should be seen as strength, they're viewed as weakness. Therefore, when we succumb to our emotions, we interpret them as being weak and pathetic. Our emotions invite us to come inside and enter the realm of being, where the masculine traits invite us out into the world of doing, conquering, manifesting on the physical level. Both masculine and feminine traits are needed for balance. The issue is that we are not in balance. This is why there seems to be so much narcissism on the planet. There's also a very strong group of people who are healing, seeking balance and entering the emotional feminine world. This is the rebirth I talk about. It is the feminine that births new life, and we're being called to a major birth process on our planet to shift the energies that will ultimately bring us back into balance. Sure, there's talk that we might just go ahead and destroy ourselves, but for those of you suffering in emotional anguish, there's a purpose to your pain. You're aligning with the energies that are birthing the new world into being. If this sounds crazy to you, come along with me on this sci-fi adventure and imagine for a moment what it would be like if this was true. Would it make a difference if you could see your emotional pain and suffering as a process of birthing? Even if you're a man who is deeply connected to his emotions, you're still in the birthing process. As a man, you may not be able to relate to it in the same way a woman would, but men symbolically birth new creations all the time. Bringing the feminine emotional nature back into balance with the masculine is the new creation. Feeling strong emotions is not an indication that there's something wrong with you. Perhaps it means you're waking up and feeling what it is to be alive and feeling the birthing pains of humanity as it goes through its insanity. Sometimes what we believe we are grieving is not true grief. It's only a doorway to it. You may believe you're grieving a man or a woman or a child, and part of you is, but there's also a part of you that is connected with the grief of humanity. We're all connected in what one feels. The problem is there's an emotional shutdown switch turned on the majority of human beings. The masculine energy suppresses the emotions, yet emotional awakening is still in process on our planet. It is an out of balance masculine energy. It's not the nature of that masculine energy to inhibit emotional functioning. It's just that we're extremely out of balance. Awakening is an emotional process. We're human beings and we are by nature emotional creatures. It's our emotions that allow us to feel love, happiness, and joy. But they must be balanced with our tears and sadness, even our anger and rage. This doesn't mean we take it out on the world and out on others. The emotional process is an inner process. When we feel strong emotions, we must retreat within and sit with them, allowing them to be felt and released. We release our intense emotions through the experience of feeling them, breathing through them, being with them in a conscious way. There are different belief systems around our emotional nature. Most say we need to learn to control our emotions. I believe we need to learn to feel them. We need to learn to enter a safe place within our own inner sanctuary and feel what is emerging within us. If we're angry, we allow those feelings to be discharged in a safe environment. If we're sad, we need to release those tears for as long as it takes. Whatever we feel, we must allow those feelings to be present. Shaming and blaming ourselves for how we feel is non-productive and stifling of our emotional energy. My saying is, all feelings are welcome here. Love the one who feels. Love that being who is sad, angry, hurt, confused, or jealous. Love the you who is showing that you are alive. I remember telling a mentor one time, I envy those who don't feel. His response was, never envy those who can't feel. Never envy those who are connected from their feeling, disconnected from their feelings. Of course, we all go through this. We all envy people who seem to skate through life without feeling, or those who are doing emotional damage to others but can't feel anything of the damage they're doing. They can't feel anything real or sustaining, and when their relationship is no longer supplying them with positive praise, they can turn the love switch off and move on without missing a beat. Those involved in narcissistic relationships know what I'm talking about. In the book Narcissism by Alexander Lowen, Lowen gives a case study of a man named Eric. In a session with Eric, he says to a man who was ruled by logic and feared insanity, quote, insanity describes the state of a person who is out of touch with reality. Since feelings are a basic reality in human life, to be out of touch with one's feelings is a sign of insanity. Alexander goes on to say, I explained to him that feelings are never crazy. They're always valid for the person. When, however, one cannot accept or contain one's feelings, when they seem to conflict with rational thought, one may experience oneself as split or crazy. The feelings just don't make sense. But to deny one's feelings makes no sense either. One can only do this by dissociating the ego from the body, the foundation of one's aliveness, end quote. Those who are disconnected to their feelings are like emotional robots. There's no real life or substance there. The emotions they are feeding on, the affection, attention, professions of love and adoration, are not coming from genuine, authentic feeling. Instead, they come from addiction, from a need to be loved and adored without the ability to truly love or adore another. They may feel sexual attraction or lust and call it love. But when another sexual attraction comes along, and it will, those feelings of love are so shallow they can simply find another outlet. There's no depth of emotion there. The love is not true because the individual is not true. to that individual emotions or weakness, and therefore all perceived weak emotions have to be suppressed. Alexander Lowen goes on to say, quote, another aspect of narcissism was evident in Eric's personality was his need to project an image. He presented himself as someone committed to doing good for others. But this image was a perversion of reality. What he called doing good for others represented an exercise of power over them, which, despite his good intentions, verged on the diabolical. Under the guise of doing good, for instance, Eric exploited his girlfriend. He got her to love him without any loving response on his part. Such exploitiveness is common to all narcissistic personalities, end quote. Narcissistic people who suppress and deny feelings seem to have access to their rage and anger above all else. Anger and rage are acceptable emotions in that masculine patriarchal world. We need anger and rage in order to go to war and fight, to tear down and destroy. Still, rage and anger is much more acceptable in men than in women, where tears are more acceptable in women than in men. Whether you are a man or a woman, all emotions need to be uncovered, felt, and given a voice in order to come back into balance and re-enter the world of sanity. We need to stop judging our emotions as negative, dark, wrong, or bad. We can no more judge our emotions as wrong or bad than we can judge the weather as wrong or bad. Weather is weather. It's nature's way. You don't have to like the way that you feel. Nobody likes to feel bad. Nobody wants to be sad, depressed, grief-stricken, broken, angry, or in despair. But we don't really have control over our emotions. We can learn to work with them, allow them to surface, feel our feelings, and allow them to be released. But we can't control when they surface any more than we can control the weather. So when dark emotions come to visit, we must set a place for them at the table, like it or not. We must be willing to allow all of our emotions a voice. Only in this way can we clear them. Dr. Paul Hanick, the author of the book Feeling People, says, quote, feeling consciousness has to be developed because most of us were raised in a non-feeling environments where performance rather than feelings was rewarded. A neurotic household reverses values and places extreme priority on performative tasks rather than on who one is and how one feels. Rewards are not given for how one grows emotionally, but how one performs tasks that have high prestige value. These homes are emotionally dead. Its members don't experience feelings. They interpret and analyze them, which leads to an emotionally dull, lifeless approach to existence. The situation leads to a double bind because if the individual performs tasks such as keeping his room neat or running errands, doing chores and washing dishes, and does not get the loving contact, warmth, and understanding that he needs, then he becomes crazy and closed down. He can't win, because if he obeys like a good little child, he sacrifices and denies his real need for a loving parent. And if he rebels and rejects the performance orientation, he will lose his parent's superficial acceptance. This is the insanity of a performance-oriented rather than a feeling-oriented home, end quote. Both Alexander Lowen and Paul Hanick are aware of the opinion that living in a robotic, performance-oriented, busy paradigm that fails to nurture our emotional selves is to live in insanity. We have to resurrect ourselves from the non-feeling world we emerge from, heal the family dynamics within ourselves that have given us the message that our feelings don't matter and our acceptance and approval come from our performance or from how we look. or how we act. We have to recondition ourselves to love the feeling aspects of our being. If you can't love the way you feel, you can at least love the one doing the feeling. Create a safe place in which to retreat within and connect with your deeper self and all the feelings that arise. Extend love to the being you are and offer compassion and empathy to the self who feels. The more we allow our feelings, the more we come alive. I'd like to quote a saying by the famous poet Khalil Gibran. He says, "Your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. How else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. It is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hollowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight." End quote. That which brings our greatest joy also brings our deepest sorrow. That which brings our deepest sorrow also brings our greatest joy. You cannot have one without the other. We live in a dualistic world of light and dark, happy, sad, joy and sorrow, up and down, highs and lows. We need to develop a different relationship with our emotions, one of acceptance and allowance, one where we really learn to love the one who is feeling so deeply and completely. We also need to develop the same kind of relationship with the emotions expressed by those we care about and love. We need to love the one who is feeling deeply, regardless of if it is the feeling one in ourselves or in those that we care about. As a counselor, my ability to love the one who is feeling deeply is a must. I believe the greatest asset of any counselor is an ability to be truly empathetic and compassionate to the emotional reality of the client. This ability seems to be lacking in traditional therapeutic models. There's too much focus on mental processing of emotional issues. Just like Paul Hanick said, we are too busy analyzing and dissecting the emotions. People are too often diagnosed with depression and other disorders and given medication when what they really need is true assistance in working with their emotional pain. Depression is a form of repression or suppression. When one has a lot of deep and complex emotions but doesn't have a way to express them, they get pushed down and ignored. This is suppression of the life force energy itself. And when you do this, a stagnant reality is created. As Alexander Lowen said, we dissociate from our bodily feelings where our aliveness is. We become emotionally numb or dead. To emerge from depression, one must get in touch with one's true feelings and find a safe avenue in which to express them. The problem many people have is that since the majority of friends, family members, coworkers, and therapists are also suppressing their true emotional reality, there's not much support available for the feeling self. One's made to feel insane for one's emotional reality when instead it is those who are cut off from their feelings that are the insane ones. The feeling self is so often blamed and shamed and cast into the shadows. It is demonized, and people who are deeply sensitive and emotional end up feeling that there's really something wrong with them. They say to themselves, I feel, therefore I am unhealthy. But it is exactly the opposite. I feel, therefore I'm alive. And sometimes it can be really challenging to be alive in a world that is emotionally dead. Most highly sensitive, emotionally connected people are more in touch with their emotional feminine natures, whether male or female. These qualities are desperately needed in our emotional awakening society as we learn how to have a new relationship with our own emotional selves and become examples for others. The emotional awakening on our planet can have a domino effect as more and more people step on board the emotions train and give themselves permission to feel truly alive. When people first begin to awaken emotionally, they may feel over the top and struggle to control their emotions. When what has long been repressed is now coming out of hiding to be expressed, it can feel overwhelming. It can take time to work through all this surfacing emotional energy. It's a different experience to actually be working through our emotions on a conscious level. This is the pendulum effect of emotional healing. At first, the pendulum seems to swing far right or far over to the emotional side, especially when you have been living more in your masculine nature of logic and reasoning. Eventually, after you've given your emotional self a voice, you'll gradually find your way back to center, to balance between the masculine natures of logic and reasoning and the feminine natures of emotion and intuition. Intuition is something that emerges out of our emotional selves. When we learn to really feel, we learn to trust what we feel and the guidance coming to us through our feeling selves. Intuition is the gut feeling that communicates with us and tells us something's wrong, or go this way, or don't go there, or avoid this person, or take that step. Intuition is our emotional guidance system. We're guided through our feeling nature rather than making all our decisions from our logic and reasoning. When we make our decisions from logic and reasoning, we're always making rational decisions rather than decisions that are in alignment with our soul. A life lived to the fullest is a life lived out of that alignment with soul. Soul is in direct connection with our feeling selves. When something doesn't feel right, it's usually out of alignment with our soul's intent or purpose. So we need to learn to really trust in how we feel and how we're being guided. When we truly awaken, we awaken to our soul nature, which is in alignment with nature herself. It's in alignment with the natural flow of life rather than the robotic system that tries to navigate through life with rigid controls, expectations, demands, shoulds, and fears such as fear of rejection, abandonment, fear of failure, fear of loss, and ultimately fear of death. I believe our fear of death is strongest when we have a strong fear of life. We fear really living and truly being emotionally alive, true to ourselves, true to our spirits, and true to each other. When we live our lives with wild abandon, we're too busy living to be bothered with the fear of dying. At any given moment, we're either living or we are dying. Our relationships are either growing or dying. Do you want to live, grow, and thrive, or wither and die? To wither and die is to deny the spirit within and live from old programs rather than from inspiration. When you're emotionally free, you're spiritually free. You can feel the call of inspiration within you and learn to trust and follow this call. Inspiration is our greatest guide in life. It is in alignment with our intuitive knowing. It is the creative fire that is unleashed when we are unblocked and living in the flow of life. If you're coming out of a relationship where you've been denied, suppressed, controlled, minimized, devalued, criticized, and undermined, be thankful you're being catapulted out of that relationship or those relationships. This is a sign that you're being set free to live life with greater alignment, passion, truth, and creativity. You just received a get-out-of-jail-free pass and a ticket to ride the soul train. If you've been living a life from a type A personality, engaged in busyness, and don't have a minute to yourself, you're immersed in the masculine world of doing and are lacking much-needed balance. When your life is so far left, you're too busy to feel your feelings or have any true emotional connections or nurturing relationships with others. You may be living in an illusion that all is well, but on a soul level, something isn't right. Something deep within you is trying to get your attention. So stop. Listen. Pay attention. This is not meant to be in constant motion. Remember that the doing world of the masculine must be balanced with the being world of the feminine. The feminine nature is about going within and connecting to the soul self, the feeling self, the intuitive self. It's not until we bring our lives into perfect balance can we truly thrive. It's not until we honor all aspects of ourselves we can truly be whole. If you can feel it, you can heal it. So let's come alive. Wake up to our emotional selves, even if it means traversing the dark night of the soul, the deep inner journey of metamorphosis that takes us into all those places we have feared to tread. It takes us into our deepest loneliness and emptiness and ultimately leads us to our deepest truth of who we are. Waking up is hard to do, yes. All worthwhile pursuits in this life come with challenges. But these are challenges the spirit can overcome. So for a time, I invite you to tune out from the world out there and all its expectations and demands and drop into the inner realm where you connect with your deepest self and all that stands in the way of true emotional freedom. You are not alone. You're part of the Great Awakening. Undertake this task with courage and you'll find the inner strength needed to persevere and come out of the other side, whole and complete unto yourself. And so it is. And I recommend the book to explore this deeper, Rebirth. It's my book that is both in print and ebook, Rebirth, Traversing the Dark Night of the Soul, and also Healing Narcissistic Abuse and Finding the True Self, as I talk about the experience of working with your feelings and emotions and being authentic. You can find these books at both of my websites, narcissismfree.com and pathbacktoself.com. And on both those websites, you'll also find links to my counseling. If you would like to sign up for counseling and get some support, call it counseling, coaching, spiritual counseling, whatever you need, hypnotherapy. You can get some support for working through your emotions. You don't have to do this alone. So I invite you to visit my websites and stay tuned because we have more great episodes coming of From Self-Loathing to Self-Loving. Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.